friendship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. That was Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, February 2nd, 2026. Happy February. We'll jump right into a message as we continue our series going through the book of Mark. Today, like last week, you'll hear from Pastor Matt Clark of CU Church, and we'll be looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Here's Pastor Matt Clark.
The Gospel of Mark is about who is Jesus and how do we respond once we recognize who he is. The Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Jesus, saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him. Jesus is going on a fishing trip, and you kind of saw where the analogy comes from. He's going on a fishing trip. Here's how I want to phrase it for us this morning. What does it look like to follow Jesus? That's how I want to say it. What does it look like to follow Jesus? Now, I don't know that if when I walk out here and I stand up here in front of you, what vibe I put off, but I don't know if I put off the vibe of a fisherman vibe. Let me tell you, I've been fishing three times in my life, three times. First time I was in junior high. I was in junior high, and I had a friend whose grandpa had a pond, and we went out to the pond, and we got all the things ready on the little reel thing, and we threw it out into the water, and I caught a fish, about as big as my hand, a little fish, couldn't tell you what kind of fish it was. It was a fish. Maybe this is too revealing about who I am, and I hope this doesn't turn you off for the rest of the morning. Please forget about it. This is a judgment-free zone. Remember, everybody's welcome, all right? And so I pull it out, and my first thought was, I ain't touching that. Nope, not touching that. And then I was thinking through, like, okay, how do I get it off the hook? And so here was the idea that popped into my head. And please don't judge me on this. Everybody's welcome here. Right? But so I decided I was just going to bang it on the grass. Eventually, it came off. And then, catch and release. Kicked it right back into the water. It did not swim away. Floated to the surface. That was fishing trip number one. Fishing trip number two was 30 years later. 30 plus years later, it was actually a couple years ago. I went on an actual fishing trip, which I don't know what, I had zero business being there. It was in a river, in a boat, with two people and a guide. This is like a real fishing trip. And you were going fishing for trout. Don't ask me to explain to you what a trout is. I know that there are different kinds and colors, but that's all I know. We went fishing for trout in this river. And it was going to be a little bit of a competition amongst some of us there. And so we had to pair off into teams. And so I put out a few prerequisites to be on my team, if you were willing. One of the prerequisites was, I'm not putting any bait on the hook. So if you'd be willing to do that, I'd love to have you on my team. Then you already know prerequisite number two. If I happen to catch something by chance, I'm not taking it off the hook. Just not going to do it. So when I threw out all those prerequisites, guess how many people volunteered to be on my team? Zero. Nobody wanted to be on my team. So there was one odd person left out, and he had to join my team, and his name is Noah. Noah's on our staff here at church, and if all the stuff you see on the screens and the website, Noah creates that. I'm forever indebted to Noah. Anything he asked me from here on out, I just have to say yes to. Because every time that my hook needed rebaited, he helped me out, and every time I caught a fish, he took it off, and my line got tangled in the water on something that was grosser than the bait that we were putting on there. He untangled my line and helped me throw it back out there in the water, and he listened to me complain about how cold it was because this fishing trip started at 6 a.m. on the river. That was fishing trip number two. Fishing trip number three I'm going to hang on to for a minute because I want to leave it as a cliffhanger. We'll put a little pin in that, right? They get better as they go. So fishing trip number three is coming. What does it look like to follow Jesus? Remember, he's on a fishing trip. What does it look like to follow Jesus? And this is according to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Meaning, this is not the exhaustive list. This is just from the passage that we're in today. And in this beginning journey, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, what does it look like to follow Jesus? And let's go back and read the invitation. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, here's the invitation, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Now, a few background pieces that help us understand what's going on here in this moment. This isn't the first time that Andrew and Simon have met Jesus, or James and John had met Jesus. This isn't their first encounter. I told you that Mark doesn't give us all the details. He doesn't give us that detail. But if you go back to John chapter 1, it gives us, which would have been about a year before this moment in time. A year before this encounter by the sea, Jesus encounters these guys. And they encounter him. They're asking him questions, or who are you? And their question was, Jesus, where are you staying? We've seen some of the things that you do. We've heard some of the things that you say, and we want to know where you're staying. We want to come and be where you're at and learn more about who you are. There's something captivating about you. And you know what Jesus says to them? Come and see. That's all he says. Come and see. Come be with me. And he invites him. And so there's a year little gap that's missing here before this invitation. What do they see and recognize? I won't give you all of them, but some of the things they see and recognize in that span is they see Jesus do miracles. They see him heal people who shouldn't be healed. They hear him preach about this gospel of grace and this kingdom that he's bringing. And they see him do other things. And so this isn't their first moment in time in meeting him, but in meeting him before, something's been stirring in them about who he is. Something's been stirring in them about who he is. And now there's another background information piece that I want to give you too, that in our encounter in Mark, Jesus does the inviting. That he's on the recruiting trip. He finds the people that he wants to invite into this, but that's not the order of events that typically happened in situations like this. That typically the students, or using the Bible language, the disciples or the apprentices would find a teacher and they would ask the teacher, can I be your disciple? Jesus being the teacher in this setting, or the rabbi, the disciples would find the rabbi and say, will you take me on as your disciple? And they would choose a rabbi based on that rabbi's ability and eloquence and understanding to teach the law of the Old Testament, the Torah, first five books. And so they would choose their teacher. But what is Jesus doing here? He's doing some uniquely different things here in the life of these guys who would understand this disciple relationship and how it works and how it goes. And now he's the one coming up to them and offering them the invitation. And what's his invitation? Follow me. His invitation isn't come sit at my feet and let me teach you the law. His invitation is follow me. It's an adverb, but it's also an imperative. It's words spoken by Jesus that have some force behind them. Like there's some power behind him, that when he speaks them, you hear them, you recognize them. For instance, when we go through the rest of Mark, we'll see this happen a lot. Actually, next week, we'll see it happen once. Jesus speaks and demons come out of people. That's the kind of force that is behind his words. We'll see it later on in Mark. Jesus speaks and wind and waves and storms become peaceful. Jesus speaks and a tree withers. Jesus speaks, curtains are torn apart. Jesus speaks and deaf people can now hear. So there's a force that comes with the words when Jesus says, follow me. You hear it, I recognize it, and I'm paying attention to it. And that's the invitation that he gives, and he's turned it around. He's offered it to them. They aren't asking it from him. Did you recognize where they were when Jesus found them and offered them the invitation? Remember, Jesus is on a recruiting trip. He's on a fishing trip. He's looking for some disciples. Notice where he doesn't go. He doesn't go to the recruiting school where the best of the best would be. Our language today, he doesn't go to where all the five stars are. He goes to a sea where there are some ordinary dudes doing some ordinary things that they would do every day. They're doing their ordinary job. They're simply trying to provide for their family and make a living for what they do. And in the class of jobs, it's not up at the top. They wouldn't be the most educated. They wouldn't be the most skilled for the task you would think that Jesus was inviting. Maybe not the most eloquent. Didn't come from the right school. Didn't come from the right job. You understand what I'm saying, right? That he goes out to the sea and he finds some ordinary men doing some ordinary things and he invites them to do something extraordinary. And I love that because what does that bring into the story? It brings into the story an ordinary me who can be invited by Jesus to do an extraordinary thing. That brings into the story, everybody who's sitting in these chairs in this place, that Jesus is inviting you, what you might think is an ordinary person in an ordinary place, to do an extraordinary thing. And what's that extraordinary thing? Follow him. Simply follow him. And as I was thinking about this in terms of what does it look like to follow Jesus, What did these guys say? What was their response to the invitation of Jesus? And here it is. What does it look like to follow Jesus? And you're going to think, man, I got out of bed and I came to church to hear this simple thing. I'm sorry, but it's as simple as this. What does it look like to follow Jesus? I simply say yes when he offers the invitation. I simply say yes. Does that mean I know everything the invitation involves? It does not. Does that mean I know everywhere the invitation is going to take me? It does not. Does that mean I know what the invitation is going to do with me? I do not. But I simply say yes. When Jesus offers the invitation, I simply just say yes. A couple of things I just want to point out about this is they do say yes to this invitation, and they are ordinary men doing an ordinary thing, but there's something extraordinary about the person that is inviting them into this invitation, and we can't miss this. We can't miss this. Actually, Peter is Simon. Simon and Peter, same guy. He gets a name changed by Jesus later on. So Simon becomes Peter. And Peter and John, they go on this journey with Jesus that we read throughout all the New Testament. And in Acts chapter 4 is one of the places that they show up. And they've been preaching and teaching about Jesus. They've been doing some things on behalf of Jesus' mission that he invited them to in Mark chapter 1. Now, in Acts chapter 4, Jesus has been to the cross. He's gone to the grave, he's resurrected, and he's ascended, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he sent these disciples out, these four dudes, and Peter and John in particular, to preach and teach, and they get arrested for it in Acts chapter 4. You might remember this. Acts chapter 4, they get arrested for doing this very thing that Jesus has invited them to do and for following him. And all that the people that arrested them do, they want them to stop preaching about Jesus. What can't they stop doing? Preaching about Jesus. So they keep doing it. And there's this council of people that has their future in their hands. They can throw them in prison, throw them in jail. They can even have them stoned and killed. All they need to do is stop, but they won't. They won't. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Here's what it says about Peter and John in this moment. And I want you to keep in mind what we're talking about, what it looks like to follow Jesus and simply saying yes, and how he invites ordinary people to do extraordinary things. What makes that possible? Here's what it says. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were, I love this phrase, uneducated and common men. I love that, right? Uneducated and common right here, right? They were uneducated and common men. They were astonished at the way in which they were preaching and teaching about this guy named Jesus. And they recognized one thing about them. It wasn't that they had a cool plaque on the wall that showed where their uneducated and common men came from. Here's what they recognized, that they had been with Jesus. And I take that and I go all the way back into the Gospel of Mark. And this invitation by Jesus to us isn't about who we are. It's not about the status that we carry with us. It's not about who we are. It's not about what we are doing. And it's absolutely not about what we have done. It is 100% about the person who's offering us the invitation, Jesus. The only thing extraordinary about those two guys, Peter and John, was that they had been with Jesus. Did you notice what Jesus says? He says, follow me. Then what does he say? I will make you become. Who's doing the work? Jesus. Fishing trip number 3. You ready for it? About a year after fishing trip number 2, a group of us went down to go fishing on the river again. A group of us went. And for some reason, they invited me back. I think it's for a good laugh. Like I might have been like, oh, let's invite him along. This will be funny. Thank you. I'm here for you. Right? So they invite me back. And it's going to be a competition. It's a competition today. There's about 10 boats. So there's about 20 people. And it's who can catch the most fish in one day. And so we throw the competition out onto the table. We're going to spend 6 or 7 hours on this river fishing for trout again. And as you can imagine, everybody's picking their partner. Who's not getting picked? This guy. So my friend Tim, he draws the short straw. And the short straw, he's like, what's a short straw? You're Matt's partner. And he, with a smile on his face, he takes on his partnership with me. And we hop into this boat. And I don't know if you've ever been on one of these fishing trips like this, but it happens before the sun comes up. So it is literally freezing cold on a river before the sun comes up. And so it is cold as can be. And we hop onto this river and we get onto this fishing thing. And we have a guide who's in this boat with us. The guide quickly figures out which one of us is not the fisherman. I don't know how he figured it out. It might have been by the clothes that I was wearing. And he quickly finds out. But this guide says, hey, I need you guys to listen to me. Every instruction that I give you, I need you to listen to me. So we get in there. You can't even see yet. There's fog coming off. You can't even see. And he's like, I've got this bait that I've specifically made. None of the other guides have it. I've made it. It's something that I've learned over my time being a guide here. And so he puts this bait. I don't touch it. He puts this bait on the hook and he scoots our boat. We can't see a thing. Scoots our boat over, you know, a couple hundred yards. And he says, hey, throw it over here. So we throw it over there. I throw it over there. And he does make sure to tell me, you don't throw the entire rod. He just makes sure to tell me that, right? You throw it over here. So I throw it over there and I'm reeling. Next thing you know, fish. Boom. And we pull it in. He says, throw it out again. Fish. Throw it out again. And then we do this three or four times and like four or five fish come in this. And I'm like, what is going on here? And he says, pull them all in. We're going over here. And then we zoom off for another 10 minutes in this boat. And we come to this other. He's like, throw it over here. So we throw it over there. Boom. Throw it. Fish. We do this all day for 6 hours. At the end of the day, we caught 88 fish. Fishermen. Let me tell you, fishermen. You guys need to know a thing or two. Come on. I can teach. Who made me a fisherman? The guy. The guy that I was willing to follow. The word doesn't necessarily mean that I was walking behind him and just mimicking where he was going. No, the word means that I was willing to allow him to come alongside me and I was going to come alongside him and he was going to make me become a fisherman. And that brother had a task that day. Guess who won the fishing tournament? 88 fish. Let's go. Back to the point of this is that Jesus is offering this invitation, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And sometimes we think, I don't know that I can accept this invitation with Jesus. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to do it. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what I've done. It's not about who we are. It's about who he is. What does it look like to follow Jesus? I simply say yes. And I allow him to do the work inside of me. What do you mean? It's not up to me. Yeah, he'll invite me to do some things along the journey. He will. But it's his work inside of me that I'm saying yes to. Let's go to the other part of the invitation. He says, follow me and I will make you become, and here's the phrase, fishers of men. He's assigning the task, right? He said, come alongside me. We're going to learn this in Mark. What does it mean to be a fisher of men in the way that Jesus taught? Over the next, actually, until Easter of 2027, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to learn what this phrase means. We're going to hang out in this space and Jesus is going to show us what it looks like to fish for people. But in this particular context, what does this mean to these guys? That this phrase didn't always have positive ideas behind it. If you read in the Old Testament, I won't give you all the instances because we don't have time for it, but reading the Old Testament, the idea of fishing for people carried with it this gathering around of people so that there could be a judgment, that you would be ripped out on a fish hook, judged, which isn't positive. That's not exciting. Let me have a gathering of people for a judgment. Amos chapter 4, verse 2, if you want to go read it later, just so you know that I'm not making it up. That's one of the for instances. In one of the minor prophets, it talks about pulling people out by a fish hook, judgment. And so it would carry with it that idea that there's a chance that they could be thinking, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, where the idea would be like, oh, we're going to sit around and judge people. I saw a couple of you get excited about that statement, right? But what is Jesus doing? Remember Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It was last week. Remember the message that Jesus is proclaiming? It's the word preaching. Remember his message? It is the gospel of God. That what is taking fishers of men and connecting it to the gospel of God? What is the gospel of God? Without going into last week's sermon, I'll say it like this. It's receiving us, receiving unmerited favor, meaning it's undeserved, unmerited favor and unmerited love from God because of Jesus and who he is and what he's done. That we just simply have to receive it. That it's not a gospel of judgment. The tag we would put on it, it's a gospel of grace. Meaning I get, you get, we get something good that we don't deserve. What is it? It's the love and the forgiveness and the acceptance of Jesus. It's the invitation to follow him. We just have to receive it. That's the gospel that Jesus is preaching. That's the gospel that he's bringing. So when he says that I want to make you become fishers of men, the idea is that I want to make you learn how to cast the net of grace and not a net of judgment. What does it look like to follow Jesus? I simply say yes, and I allow him to do the work. I grow in my willingness to cast a net of grace. Because I don't know about you, but what is my first nature? is not to cast a net of grace. It's to cast a net of judgment. And Jesus is turning this upside down, and it's radically going to change the world and who we are. And the invitation is the same of us, is that if we go do whatever it is that we do every day, that we would cast the net of grace in those spaces versus the net of judgment. Because part of the reason that we sit in a room like this is because somebody cast the net of grace towards us. What does it look like to follow Jesus? That I grow in my willingness to cast the net of grace. And then let's go to their response. Their response to this invitation, did you see it? Immediately, Simon and Andrew left their nets. Immediately, James and John left their father and their boats behind and the servants. It wasn't, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me get a few things in order first. And then I'll come back and we can pick up this following you thing. It wasn't that. It was immediate. They didn't say, hey, but Jesus, we just pulled in a big catch of fish. I mean, it's a big one. Like, can I go cash in and maybe have some spending money for the road trip? Right? Mark tells us it was immediate. There was an urgency to what they did. What did they leave behind? Think about what the nets and the boats and the servants and all those different things represented. The nets. They were dependent upon the nets for everything that they needed, right? They used them to provide for their family. We know that Peter has a wife, to provide for the family, to put food on the table, to have something to eat. You could say, we don't know this, this is me reading into it, that sometimes what we do provides in us a sense of security, right? That I do this and I have to do this because I make this and there's a sense of security in that. Think about what the boats and the father and the servants on that side of it would represent. With Andrew and Simon, it's implying that they might be wading out in the water casting their nets. But with James and John, it's implying that they had boats, that Papa Zebedee was good at this fishing thing. And he was good enough at it that he had had some boats and he had some servants and they had grown a successful fishing business for their family that would provide them a sense of security, maybe even identity. Have you ever found your identity in what you do or in what you have? I have. I do. And there's a sense of urgency that comes along with this invitation of following Jesus. And part of what I think is happening here is that what does it look like to follow Jesus? I simply say yes, and I allow him to do the work. I'm willing to grow in casting a net of grace. And my identity is solely found in following Jesus and following Jesus alone. That it's not about what I do and what I have. And this is a wrestling point for me, if I'm being honest. Like this is a wrestling match with me as I evaluate my own life, because what it bubbles up for the surface for things like this is that my identity can't be found in my kids as a dad. My identity can't be found in my kids. And it's easy for me to want to chase everything for them, but miss that my identity should be found in following Jesus. And if they get one thing from me and one thing alone, that my identity is found in following Jesus. It's hard for me as a husband. My identity can't be found in being a husband or my wife. As a career, my identity can't be found in the career that I have. As a pastor, my identity can't be found in being a pastor. That my identity is solely in following Jesus.
Listening friend, have you placed your identity in lesser things? You are a beloved child of God. A man or woman, boy or girl, that can press his kingdom influence, power, and authority wherever you go as you go. You are God's ambassador in this hurting world. It's a high calling. Take that to heart, that you'll continue to extend the net of grace and not judgment. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Matt Clark as he taught from Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. On our continuing series through the book of Mark, as he mentioned, into 2027. So on Mondays, you'll continue to hear primarily from Pastor Jason Epperson, but from time to time, other pastors will be preaching through this series. If you missed a portion of today's message, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.